Hi, this is Ryan Lee, and I have Jeff Cavalier with me, and we are going to be talking in depth about nutrition, what to eat, when to eat, how to eat, everything you need to know about getting really lean, and as Jeff likes to call it, ath-lean, looking like that really lean, fit athlete. So Jeff, let's jump right in with nutrition. Now, you are someone who obviously practices what they preach. You know, people who can see your picture on the website or the video see that you are lean and ripped pretty much 24/7, 365 days a year. Tell us the importance of nutrition in that, you know, in keeping that build all year round.
Ryan, I think nutrition is vital. I mean, this is something that I've started to tweak, you know, way back in high school, really. You know, actually, before I kind of describe how it all started, I mean, it makes up, I think, about, you know, 60 to 70% of your results. You can get stronger. You can get more muscular for sure by following just workout programs. I mean, that's why so many people do them. The hard part and the part that people really need to fine-tune if they want that you know, ultimate result that they're looking for, and especially in terms of leanness, if that's what they're after, leanness and athletic, you know, body, is through diet. It definitely is a large component. Like I started to say, though, I back in high school, I was playing sports. You know, I played football, and I had probably what you would call the average body to maybe somewhat chubby.
Okay.
And I just felt that I didn't have energy really when I would get to practice, and I would start to pick up the magazines back in the day to just, you know, fool around and see what workouts were there. But obviously, part of those magazines was also nutrition advice too. And I would say, geez, I wonder if I got rid of those donuts that I eat every morning, or that, you know, Ennemann's crumb-filled cheesecake, which is like my favorite. You know, I eat that every morning. You know, I wonder how it would feel, if I would feel better. And slowly, I made changes to my program, substituting different things. I saw the results, and as I saw the results, I knew that nutrition was a huge part of creating and redefining what your physique actually looks like. So I got hooked way back then on that.
Yeah, and again, you're not just the layperson now, you know, kind of reading a couple magazines and picking up nutrition tips. I mean, your experience and background is pretty impressive. I mean, professional sports, you the strength coach and physical therapist for the New York Mets, and you train professional athletes off-season. So let's talk about, you know, what to eat, what not to eat. There's a lot of myths. You know, there's so many diets. There's high carb, low carb, no carb, little carb, you know, high protein, high fat, low fat, you know, warrior diet. You know, I can go on, you know, fruits and just drink. I can go on for days. You know,
right.
Let's hear your thoughts. First, give me kind of an overall synopsis on how you kind of summarize your nutrition, you know, your ath-lean nutritional plan.
You know, it's funny. The word diet in itself makes me kind of cringe. You know, it's like diet seems negative. Diet seems like short term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I'm on a diet. Oh, I'm going to start my diet. You know, diet is something that seems like you're just going to be doing it for a short period of time, and then you're going to revert back to what you've done before. You know, a total change in eating behavior really is what you're after. It's trying to change over what you feel about eating and what you how you approach your day. You know, that's what holds the secret to long-term success, I think. So as far as my thoughts on all those variations on those diets, you know, I don't think it has to be that complicated. I don't think even though some of them are very simplistic, like eat grapefruit or nothing else for the rest of the day.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't think it has to be that complicated. I think, you know, I do believe in the saying of everything in moderation, but I think you have to make some smart choices. Basically, I would say that people that avoid carbohydrates, that's wrong, especially for a guy, you know, who's active and goes to the gym and works out and maybe, you know, gets together with his buddies and plays some sports. I mean, carbohydrates are a primary source of energy for you, for not only for your muscles but for your brain as well. So if you have to work, you know, make a living like most of us do, and you know, go out and play with your buddies in some pickup basketball. I mean, if you're running low on carbohydrates, you may not be able to function in either one of those venues. So those diets I don't really favor either. I think that you should concentrate on increasing your protein as a basic because you are trying to build muscle at the same time. You know, we don't want to get the marathon body, even though some people prefer that. I don't think the people that buy this program are certainly looking for a marathoner's body.
Yeah, that's not what we consider athlete.
Right. No, definitely not. And you know, I think that if you consume enough protein though while you are following a bit of a stricter diet, you're going to maintain your muscle mass, if not build more. And that's obviously the number one goal. Carbohydrates, like I said, you don't want to avoid carbohydrates. You want to choose better carbohydrates. You know, there's so many variations of carbohydrate. I mean, cake is a carbohydrate, but so is rice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but a lot of people don't want to have rice, but they'll sure as hell eat cake. You know, and it's choosing what carbohydrates to eat. I like to stick to the fibrous carbohydrates. So fiber content is another way to kind of choose which carbohydrates you want to eat. If it's high in fiber, more than likely it's something you should eat. If it's low in fiber or has no fiber in it, it's probably a processed food. Anything that's obviously sweet, desserts and cupcakes and potato chips or things like that are munchies. Honestly, if you really really want to get lean, you kind of have to limit those to a rare treat. You know, that's obviously you can eat them and maybe once a week or twice a week, and the guy that eats them never eats them all week or even for a month, he's going to have more success most likely because he's not really ever exposing himself to those type of processed carbs. But it depends on what your goal is. How lean do you want to be?
If they wanted, let's say, everyone listening right now to this audio is saying, I want to be as lean as you. You know,
right.
I want to look like you, Jeff. So with that being said, it seems like as a society, we do have an addiction to these really bad carbs,
Yeah.
Now you really pretty much avoid them. How do we wrap our mind around saying, hey, I'm not going to have that cookie, or I love chocolate chip cookies, I'm not going to have that or that piece of cake. What do you do? How do you set yourself up for success?
I think there's two parts to that I really try to focus on. One of them is frequency of eating. If you can get yourself into the habit of eating every 2.5 to 3 hours maximum, it makes it a heck of a lot easier to push away those tempting carbs when you know you shouldn't have them. Because what happens is, number one, obviously, if people have already heard, that you will increase the rate of your metabolism, which is always a good thing for burning fat and building muscle, by eating smaller, more frequent meals. But on another end of it, because it keeps your blood sugar level throughout the day, you don't get any of those crazy highs or lows. But on another end of it is that if I'm sitting here as Jeff Cavalier and I ate breakfast and I finished at 8 o'clock, okay, or let's say, let's even go to the afternoon because that's when people usually have their most problem. If I ate lunch at 12 o'clock, and I start to get hungry, I know that I'm eating something at about 2:30 or 3 o'clock, 2.5 to 3 hours later. So at 2:30 or 3, I know I have something, a snack coming. Now, what you choose for your snack, that's a different issue, and we'll get into that. But as far as the fact that I know I have something coming, if I only normally eat three times a day, I'm sitting here at 2:30 with my stomach growling, saying, "How the heck am I going to make it to 7 o'clock,
right,
or 6 o'clock for dinner?" And then someone comes walking by me, and they have a tray of cupcakes. I mean, I'm going to grab one because I know I'm starving. I'm never going to make it there. So, deciding to eat every 2.5 hours. I always feel like I can resist that temptation because I say, look, I don't have to wait until 7 o'clock. I know I'm hungry right now. Let's say it was 1:30 when I got hungry,
Mm-hmm.
I can wait until 2:30. I got an hour to wait, and I know I can have this protein bar or this piece of fruit that I've already prepared and brought with me because preparation is key, and I hope we'll talk about that a little bit. But, I already have this with me, and I don't have to grab anything right now because I know in an hour I'm about ready to eat again. And it sounds like you're eating on the clock, but it's true. The better, the closer you can, eat to what the clock tells you, it makes it easier. It makes it easier for sure.
Yeah, and when you're saying every 2 to 3 hours, you're not eating Big Macs every 2 to 3 hours. Like, people shouldn't get the impression that you're eating this huge volume of food and this really fatty stuff. It's
right.
It's the healthier choices.
Yeah, and you know, making healthy choices. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could eat, you know, for a snack. There's lots of things that you could eat for lunch.
Give me some of your favorites.
I'll take you through. I could take you through my day if that helps.
Yeah, let's start with the morning.
Okay.
A day in the life of Jeff.
Okay. All right. Every morning, I love oatmeal. I love oatmeal. So I usually, and for me, it's got a lower glycemic index for the carbohydrate, and that just simply means that how quickly is it absorbed into your system. Like a sweet, like we talked about before, candies and sugars, those things will be absorbed so quickly, and they'll shoot your blood sugar straight up, and that's not something we want. So some carbohydrates with fiber, again, we're going back to that fiber theme, carbohydrates with fiber like oatmeal will tend to create more sustainable energy with a lower increase in blood sugar. So that's, I would always start with my carbohydrates. Now the second thing is combining carbohydrates and another element like fats or proteins will tend to slow that blood sugar release a little bit more. So I always try to combine. I don't just strictly eat carbohydrates and I don't strictly eat protein. I always try to have something, you know, other than just, you know, one of those in exclusion. So if I ate protein, I'd have some sort of carbohydrate with it or a little bit of fat.
So my protein in the morning comes with egg whites. What's that?
Egg whites in the morning would be my protein.
Okay, so in the morning, you're going to have a bowl of oatmeal, and then you'll also have egg whites with it as well?
I'll also have egg whites with it as well. You know, just, I could scramble them or, you know, you can have eggs as well. I happen to prefer egg whites by now because I've been doing this for a long period of time, but I don't care if someone says to me, well, Jeff, does it matter if I have, you know, two eggs or you know, one full egg and a couple egg whites? No, that's fine. That's not going to, you know, totally derail your nutrition. But what I would say is I also have like a glass of milk too, so like skim milk. I definitely stay away from juices. I am not a big fan of juices. The problem being, they're, you know, most of the time the ones that they have, you know, available today are just, it's pure sugar. Yes, it's fructose and it's a different, you know, different kind of sugar, but it's pure sugar. And people can drink a lot of juice. I don't know what it is about juice, but they can drink not just one glass, but two glasses, and it's a lot of calories. And I try to generally just stay away from juice. I know one guy alone on our team who came to me last year. I talked to him in spring training, and the main thing we did, because I noticed, I'd watch him, you know, there's a little time to kill before we go out on the field in spring training every morning, and he'd have three bottles of juice every morning.
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? He said, what can I do? I don't know how to change my eating. I like my foods too much. And I said, you know, let's get you off that juice and just get you into either some skim milk or water in the morning. And by the end of that season, which was 6 months later, from just the one modification of juice and the fact that that also motivated him as he was losing weight to continue to make some other modifications, he lost about 34, 35 pounds.
Wow.
So this is a guy that has been performing at an elite level for many, many years. This guy is easily recognizable, but he still was looking for a way to actually get a little bit leaner and stronger and just cutting, you know, the juice out of his diet was
okay. So again, to summarize, starting off from breakfast, you're having a bowl of oatmeal.
Yep.
Not the instant kind, I'm assuming.
I do a slow cook. I mean, I still cook it in the microwave, but it takes about 7 or 8 minutes when you do it in there. It's not the slow cook, the slow cook kind. The slow cook kind tends to have a little bit more salt and you know, I guess, you know, additives to make that stuff just dissolve right away.
Okay.
I use the long cooking oats, and I still cook it. But again, I don't have plenty of time in the morning to just sit there and, you know, take out my chef's hat and start cooking a bowl of oatmeal, you know, 30 minutes every morning. So I throw it in the microwave and I do other things while I'm waiting for it to cook.
Okay. Now, can someone substitute a bowl of like oatmeal cereal, or is that not a good substitution?
Like normally, the oatmeal cereals are not a good substitution because you got to check the sugar content. I also I traveled a lot for my job with the Mets, and you know, I was pretty much at the will of whatever the hotel had for me. You know,
right.
Whatever they had available. There were a lot of times where they didn't have oatmeal available, or there was a buffet and it wasn't available. I'm not against having a bowl of cereal, but you really should choose a cereal that's low in sugar. Most cereals are low in fat. Most are not high fat. It's more so, and most are pretty good in fiber as well. But it's a matter of how much sugar. You know, Fruit Loops is obviously not as good as like a a Total or something like that.
Okay.
So, you know, with some fresh fruit in it, you know, like any of those cereals are good.
Is there
the oatmeal cereals definitely usually have a lot of sugar in them.
Is there a certain number we're looking for in terms of sugar on how much to keep it under for a bowl of cereal? Like, there's a lot I've seen it, you know, 10 grams, 12 grams per serving.
Yeah, I always usually try to keep it below about 12 grams. And the reason why I pick 12 is because there are a few out there that have 12 as the number, and I still think they're good cereals because they might also have 7 or 8 grams of fiber in them at the same time. And if it's a true serving size, like, say, a cup of cereal, because you do have to watch out for your serving sizes, you might find, you know, one that says, oh, only 12 grams of sugar for a teaspoon of cereal.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. Their serving sizes are microscopic. So by the time you put an actual bowl of cereal together, it's 12 times 3. You know, which is 36 grams of sugar. So, if it's a true serving size in 12 grams, I think that's a fine choice for a cereal that you could use.
Okay, but again, optimal bowl of oatmeal, a couple of egg whites, a glass of skim milk. Is that pretty much it for your breakfast?
That's perfect. Yeah, that's what I have every morning.
Okay, and then you eat about 2.5 to 3 hours later. What's your next meal?
Two and a half hours later or so, I'll have either. It depends on how my day is going. Because if I'm up really early and that 2.5 hours is only 9 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
It will differ than if I'm, you know, kind of eating at my next meal around more towards lunchtime. So on a typical day, let's say it's more towards lunchtime, then that will be my lunch. And you know, I tend to have, if I can, I love grilled chicken. I try to put it in a sandwich. Again, I'm not afraid of carbohydrates. So I'll have a grilled chicken wrap. You know, a wrap is perfect.
Okay.
You know, wraps are slightly, you know, less caloric than grinders or different, you know, kinds of bread. But it's not the carbohydrate content that I'm scared of. So I'll have, like, a grilled chicken wrap with, like, you know, obviously grilled chicken could be pretty boring and bland, but I use salsa to spice it up a little bit and to give a little bit, you know, a bit of moisture, you know, mustard or you know, lettuce and tomato. I mean, and you got to think, you know, can you put it, you know, I love like a grilled vegetable wrap or grilled vegetables, like grilled zucchini, grilled things like that, if I'm in a deli, that they could put on it, roasted peppers, things to kind of spice up and make my chicken more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But that's certainly, like, that's usually my choice at lunch, is some sort of a grilled chicken wrap or, you know, some kind of a tuna sandwich. But I don't eat tuna fish salad because that's got a ton of mayo in it. I'm talking about regular tuna, you know, from a can that I'll put mix in with, you know, with some onions or you know, lettuce and tomato and eat it that way. But I honestly don't tend to do that because I do usually get my lunches out because I'm out and I'm working. So I usually, you know, get my lunches out. And for me, it's easier just to order some version of a grilled chicken wrap.
So now if you can't go grilled chicken, would you go turkey? Would you go roast beef?
Yeah, you know, I actually think that you can eat most of those like turkey and I mean, if you have the ability to get some sort of fish at lunch, that's great. I don't know, you know, a lot of people that have that ability, like a nice fillet, you know, but turkey and roast beef is okay. The only thing that you have to watch out for is those deli meats. I told you back earlier in the interview, when I first started, I was making smaller changes.
Right.
And my first change was to go from, I mean, literally eating, my lunch in high school was, I can remember it to this day, it was pizza, you know, the slice of pizza we used
right.
to have.
Uh-huh.
It was 3 Otis Spunkmeyer cookies, you know, that we wanted them as raw as they could. Whoever can get more oil to soak through the napkin that they're on, would win. You know, that was, we wanted them pretty much 5 seconds in the oven and out. And, you know, and then like some kind of Hostess, you know, Twinkies or something I would have as well. So I went from eating that to saying, okay, I'm going to eat a turkey sandwich. And my turkey sandwich, I would use deli meats. And I think it's fine. I think it's fine to be, if that's where you're at, if your nutrition is what you would call lousy at this point, then I would say, you know, switch to the deli meat. You're gonna be 100 times better off, you know, than eating what you are eating. But ultimately, if you really want to fine tune it, the deli meats are loaded with sodium. loaded with them, and you know, and fillers that they put in there to make them, you know. So, I never saw, I came across a big round chicken breast or turkey breast in my whole life. But meanwhile, when you go to the deli, you see this big round, perfectly shaped ball. That's because, you know, they mix it all up in a bowl and pretty much shape it, you know, using a mold, and then they cut it.
Yeah.
Other brands are obviously a little bit more more natural, you know, and it looks more like a turkey breast.
Okay.
But there, as far as, you know, modifications and doing this in a step, in a step-by-step pattern, if that's the first step and that's going to help you, then I would definitely recommend that over some poorer choices.
Okay, so you start to, you know, you go from your normal two slices of pizza for lunch to, you know, maybe you go to a turkey wrap or a roast beef,
yeah,
and then you and then you try, you know, maybe mix in a chicken wrap, grilled chicken wrap a couple times.
Yeah. I mean, and even in that case, if you told me, you know, the tuna salad, you know, God, I would choose a tuna salad over the you know, over the pizza or the Big Mac, you know, any day, you know, at least you're moving in the right direction.
Right. So what if you, now you had said that's if you're, you know, kind of getting up a little bit later. What if you're, if someone listening has a really early day, like me, I have the three little girls and another kid on the way. So we're up at 6 a.m. and that's usually when I eat, like 6, 6:30.
Yeah.
So what would be your second meal then?
So what I do is I usually eat about 5 times a day. So, I have kind of like that, my flex meal. So I'll have my breakfast, my lunch, my dinner, and then I'll have a snack and another. I'll have two snacks in between. And if it's a day like you talk about where you're up really early and you know lunch is not until generally around, you know, 11 to 12 to 1, somewhere around there, then I would opt to have my snack right around 9, 9:30.
Okay.
In the morning, I don't know what it is, but it's hard for me to want to eat like a – I don't know. I generally would try to eat like a piece of fruit in the morning just to tide me over. Maybe a banana, maybe a yogurt, you know, just to tide me over for a while. But it could be a protein bar, you know. And I have my thoughts on the protein bars, which we'll get into after. You know, I just have to remind me. But you know, like a protein bar that I would have at that time, just something small. I think at that point, some people like to have like a some nuts or, you know, maybe. You know, some vegetables, you know, that they have cut up, whatever. I mean, you're talking around 200 to 300 calories would be a good size. So whatever fits into that framework of a 200 to 300 calorie snack would be acceptable, for, you know, provided it was good food.
It was good too. It's not, you know, 8, you know, Nutter Butter cookies.
It's
a piece of fruit, some vegetables, yogurt, as you said, a protein bar, something of that nature.
Nuts, something like that. Something, you know, some seeds. Some people like to eat seeds. I mean, you know, it's just something. Yeah, because you have to kind of remember that everything revolves around really those basic tenets that we said before, which was, you know, we're trying. If you want to get lean, we're getting rid of those Nutter Butter stuff. We're getting rid of the sweets. We're getting rid of all that, you know, all the sodas and the juices. We're getting that out of our diet. You know, that's you know, diet in the sense of, you know how I hate the word, but in the sense of what we eat, our nutritional intake. You know, anytime you ever hear me say the word diet, that's what I'm going to refer to as our nutritional intake. We're getting rid of all that stuff. So, you know, we're talking now about, you know, that those aren't even factors in this equation. So yeah, Nutter Butters would be gone.
Okay.
People might say, well, it's 300 calories if I eat 4 Nutter Butters, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about.
We're talking about the good types of calories.
Right. Right.
All right. So if that's the case, so you have your breakfast, you have your snack, you have a lunch. What about the next snack in between lunch and dinner?
You know, the next snack is would be something along the lines of what we just talked about, those types of snacks. But I think that the key for those snacks, and especially the key for that second snack, is portability. You know, if I want to, because look, most of us are going to be out there. We're either in school and we have classes all day, or we're going to be working and we're away all day. Is this something that you could take with you? It's not going to melt or go bad, or, you know, by the time 3 o'clock rolls around, you know,
it's right.
Something that could still be eaten, you know, at 3 o'clock and not cause food poisoning or anything else. That's gonna, you know, that's gonna have you in a worse shape than if you were eating cookies.
Yeah.
You know, And I think that that's key is to what we do choose, and that's why again, you know, things like the protein bars, and some people like the protein shakes. You know, if you're a bodybuilder, I would recommend one of those because you're trying to, weight trainer at least, you're trying to trying to build muscle. So the more protein you can get at your various meals throughout the day, the better off you're going to be. So those are some of your higher instant available sources of protein that you can get.
Yeah, and so again, a piece of fruit's pretty portable too. I mean, an apple, a banana.
Yeah, an apple, banana. I'm very portable, and they're not going to go bad, and you know, and they're pretty durable too. I mean, you could put them in your bag that you take to work, and not have to worry about them, you know, getting smashed or leaking all over your bag. So. Yeah, something that's portable and that's nutritious in the sense that it's got good value. You get some bang for your buck when you eat that. There's a saying called empty calories. Empty calories are really I think empty calories are what prevent people from gaining muscle at the same time as they're losing weight. Because I've seen people that don't gain weight, but they don't change their body, you know, and I find that those are the people that are eating the empty calories. Like maybe they have their whole diet, you know, throughout the day totals up to the same amount of calories. Like let's say, Ryan, you eat, you know, 3,000 calories and I ate 3,000 calories, but you ate, you know, the same, you ate it coming from Nutter Butters and Big Macs, which might mean you can only eat half of a Big Mac and two Nutter Butters, and I'm eating all day long, but you're not eating quality calories that actually your body can put to use.
Right,
you know that it can actually be put to use to build muscle and to help you, you know, raise your metabolism and lose fat. I mean, our body is like a one big chemistry project. I mean, it doesn't just take anything in and spit out the same results. It's like the same way that you can take a pill, you know, a medical pill, and it can cause a certain desired reaction if somebody's a diabetic and they take certain insulin medications, or somebody has a cardiac problem, they're taking a pill for that. It creates an effect in the body when you take that pill that hopefully is creating the effect that you want. Well, food is the same thing. Food is the same thing. So not every single food creates the same effect inside of us, and that's why I think, you know, this whole, you know, talk about eating eating quality food as opposed to empty calories can make a huge difference. And it allows you to eat more, because if you're eating clean foods, like people like to call it, if you're eating clean foods, you can eat these five times a day, and you're not going to be starving because you can eat adequate amounts of food at all five meals and never be wanting to grab and snack throughout the rest of the day on things that you know you shouldn't have.
Right.
Because you're actually eating enough food at every meal because the foods are clean and they're actually working for you.
Yeah. Now, before we talk about, you know, kind of preparing and maybe cooking for the week in a night, you know, let's finish up with your last meal of the day.
Yep. So the last meal of the day, I think, obviously, is my dinner. And I think one of the big myths that people have, and I would like to dispel it now because people do concentrate on it, and I hear it all the time, is, oh, I can't eat after 6 o'clock. I can't eat after 6 o'clock. You know, I'm going to get fat. That's not true. It's not true. I mean, Does your activity slow down later on at night? Yes. I mean, more than likely, you're probably going to eat dinner, and then you're going to maybe start to taper down for the day, maybe watch some TV, maybe you're going to go to bed somewhat early because you have to get up early. But I don't think that you have to sit there and fear that, you know, like Cinderella, that once 6 o'clock rolls around, you know, you're going to turn into a pumpkin.
Right.
I mean, you can eat. I mean, when I was in with baseball, our schedules were crazy. I mean, we couldn't eat. It was actually against the rules to touch what they called the post-game spread. I mean, you can't go in there at seventh inning because you're hungry and start eating the food. You have to wait until it's over. And there were nights that we had extra inning games that weren't over till 12:30. But if you're still eating every 2.5 to 3 hours, your metabolism is pumping along and actually your blood sugar is very steady. So if you're eating at 12:30, what's the difference? I mean, our guys used to sleep until 11 o'clock in the morning. Well, their day just starts later.
Right.
You know, they're still eating every 2.5 to 3 hours. See, that's the key is the frequency with which you eat. So I don't think that eating, the fact that you eat your last meal late in the day is bad, is a bad thing. So anyway, you know, now that that's dispelled, if you're if let's say Ryan, you're busy at the office and you're staying there all, you know, all day because you have to hammer out a project and get it done that day. You may not come home till 9 o'clock, 9:30, but you probably grabbed a little snack because I don't think it's not against the rules that if you're eating five times a day, but you know, last time you ate was 3 o'clock, right? And then we said, well, you're going to eat dinner around 6 o'clock. Well, if you're going to be there at office until 9:30, grab another snack at 6 o'clock.
Right.
You know, now it brings you to dinner time. It's 9:30. It's still about 2.5 to 3 hours after you ate before. Now, you know, now you have your dinner. It's not gonna kill you. You're doing yourself a favor because you're keeping your metabolism right there on that 2.5 to 3 hour window. But as far as my choices, I mean, at dinner, I love to have. I usually try to cover my plate with some sort of a protein. You know, whether it be at a fish. Like dinner is more often the time when I'll eat fish, especially
okay.
if I go out. I'll definitely try to have some kind of fish because I don't usually cook it at home, you know, myself. But it's something that that's the time of day I'll have either fish or chicken or turkey or pork or, you know, like a pork chop or, you know, a lean steak, you know, if like a top round, you know, cut of meat. Something like that would be in one portion of my plate. And really the rest of my plate I cover with different kinds of vegetables. I mean, spinach or you know, I love sweet potatoes. I'm surprised I'm not orange by now because I eat sweet potatoes every single day. I just mash them up and have them, you know, as like one third of my plate. But I look at my plate almost in thirds, and I have two thirds of it coming from vegetables, and one third of it coming from my protein source. A lot of water. I drink a glass of water with every meal, and I drink throughout the day as well.
Okay.
Water. So. You know, salad, if someone wants to have, you know, a salad with their meal or, you know, some, like, edamame or something like that because people like to have, like, finger food usually that they can snack on beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, finger food as opposed to, you know, fried calamari, you know, I would say, you know, something more along the lines of that. I don't eat bread. I do not eat bread with my meals. I know a lot of people like to do that. I just feel like, you know, it tends to come before the meal. People usually have bread before the meal, and that's when you're hungry.
Yeah.
You know, when you're waiting for your food to come, or even if you're just cooking your food yourself, but you have bread available, that's when you're most hungry. So you're more likely to eat too much bread, and it's not the carbohydrates I'm scared of. It's just the calorie content. Bread can be pretty dense.
So when you're there, if you go out to a restaurant with your wife or some friends, and they put the big plate of bread out, the big bowl of bread, you just resist. You say, "I'm not going
to
have it."
Yeah, and again, think back to the thing. It's not even, now we're not even talking about having to wait 2 hours or 3 hours. Now we're talking about having to wait 10 minutes.
Right.
And I know, here's the thing, I know that I can eat the bread, but I'm going to pay the consequence. I'm going to look a different way than I look now. If I want to look athlete, if I want to have that athlete body, I can't eat the bread. I mean, it's not going to make or break me. You know, I just feel like that I'm committed to looking a certain way. It's important to me, which I hear it all the time. Guys are saying, "Jeff, you don't realize how important it is to me to look like this. I have to look like this. I'm tired of looking, you know, overweight or feeling, you know, self-conscious about myself when I take my shirt off, you know, in the locker room or if I'm at the beach with the guys. You know, I don't want to look like this." Well, if it's that important, I think you can wait 10 minutes to not have the bread.
Right.
You know, and you have to really assess how important is it to you. You know, how much? Because we all have a degree of self-control. It's just, you know, at what point does it break down? You know, at what point does your self-control say, "I know I have to do this, but I want to have it. It looks too good." You know, and that's what you're trying to avoid.
It makes sense. And what about, what's your thoughts? So if you say, okay, you can have some carbs, what are your thoughts on pasta? A lot of people love spaghetti and ziti and things of that nature.
Yeah, I love pasta. I think pasta is fine. I really do. The problem with pasta is if you ever look at like a serving size on the side of the box for pasta, I think it's like 2 ounces or something like that. But when you look at it, if you put 2 ounces of pasta on a plate, you might be able, especially if you're Italian like me, you might be able to inhale it in one shot. You know, you could just take one thing of spaghetti, wrap it around your fork, and it might be gone in one shot. It's a pretty caloric thing. It's pretty dense. You know, pasta is pretty dense. And people say, well, what about the whole wheat versions of the pasta? Fine. It's a better. We talked about that glycemic index before.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little lower. It's a little lower on that chart, so it will be absorbed a little bit slower than a regular, traditional pasta that you would find. But it's still caloric and it's still the same thing. So if you're going to do it, you know, breaking it down even further, like I said before, like my plate into thirds, is I kind of try to have a starchy carbohydrate on one third of the plate, and then I have like my fibrous carbohydrates on the other third of the plate. So I, with that said, let's say like that third of the plate that's starchy, that's where I have my sweet potatoes, potato, pasta, rice. That's all. Those are all the starchy carbohydrates. I would have pasta, but I only put it on like a third of my plate.
Okay.
So it's a good way to like you know to control the portions without depriving yourself of it, because it's not a bad food. But if people want to have a whole plate full of pasta, it's okay. But you're gonna if you ever measured up how much is in there, you might be eating about 5 or 6 servings. So just be prepared that you're probably gonna have about 800 calories from your dinner. You know, just from the pasta alone.
Yeah, it's a lot of calories.
I mean, just from that, you know, as opposed to, you know, not including everything else that you're eating too.
Yeah. Now, in terms of, you know, so this is really good because this kind of gives us your nutritional plan, and it gives us a good template to work off of. Because a lot of people always have these questions: what snacks do I eat? How often should I eat? So you just answered all the questions. Now, how do we prepare? Meaning, you know, you said, you know, you have to, because preparation is really key to eating well. It's not being, you know, 4 hours into the day, I'm like, oh, God, I have nothing to eat. And the only thing here is a vending machine with, you know, Reese's peanut butter cups.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts or strategies on, you know, setting yourself up for success and preparing?
Right. Preparation is vital. I mean, preparation is probably the biggest area where, you know, all good intentions go awry, because let's face it, if we're out there and we don't have anything to eat and we're starving, we're going to eat something. And if the only thing available is that vending machine, you're going to hit the vending machine.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, there's a saying that says, you know, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. And it's very true. The types of things that we could do, you know, some people I know, let's say for dinner, they want to vary their protein for the night. So that if they're going to make a, you know, a fish one night, you know, broil up some fish one night, or broil up some chicken the next night, or that's fine. But let's say they make make some vegetables ahead of time. You can, you know, on a Sunday, you can make a big container of either spinach or a big container of rice or a big container of pasta. You know, and have that so that you can kind of, when you come home late at night, you take a little bit of, you know, one third of the starchy carbohydrate, one third of the fibrous one, whatever, like spaghetti squash or broccoli or cauliflower or carrots or whatever type of fibrous carbohydrates you have. Take some of that, take some of the pasta, and then, you know, broil the meat, which only takes about, you know, 15 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then put that on your plate. So you're almost preparing two thirds of your dinner ahead of time, and you could pull from that for 3, 4, 5 days if you really want to have that prepared. As far as going to work in the morning, the protein bars are the ultimate inconvenience. You know, some of the protein shakes are ultimate inconvenience because they're already either, you know, they're already prepackaged or pre-mixed, or, you know, in the case of the protein shakes, that you can have those. The fruit, you know, ultimate portability. Make sure you know when you're up in the morning, what's my day going to be like? What am I going to do? Ryan, you don't leave the house in the morning without a plan of what you're going to do for work.
Right.
You know you have a conference call at a certain time of the day. You know you have to get a product done by, you know, by a certain time of the day. But why do people stop when it comes to their nutrition? They just play, you know, they play Russian roulette. They don't know what they should have or when they should have it. You should go work with the same plan. It doesn't take very long. It'll probably only take you about 5 minutes to say, okay, well, I know I'm eating. You know, I got my breakfast covered. I'm going to have dinner with my wife at 6 o'clock or so. I got lunch with the guys over at my favorite, you know, Japanese place. You know, we're going to have some sushi. But I'm not sure what I'm going to do for the other two, you know, how I'm going to get these other two meals in. Well, I mean, don't leave the house without them. You know, go grab a protein bar and a piece of fruit. And now you're covered. Or grab a yogurt and a protein bar or whatever snacks you like. But leave the house with them, so that by the time that you know mid-afternoon time rolls around, you're not searching for the vending machine because you have nothing. You already have it with you. You've brought it with you. You have no excuse. And that's really the key. It's the key, because it's what keeps you on track. Because if you derail your day early, it could totally be shot by the end of the day. because you just play catch up the rest of the day. So if you leave the house and you're prepared for that day, then that's great. You made it through one day with a plan. Bring the same plan to tomorrow. You could change the foods around. You know, maybe you don't feel like having a protein bar every single day at 3 o'clock. I mean, that's fine. I don't think you have to be that regimented. But I mean, find some foods that you like, that you reliably like, that are portable and convenient, and that you could bring with you, and that would count and constitute a healthy snack. And then just mix it up. But make sure that you have those with you and you bring those with you each day.
Yeah,
that's how you can prevent a lot of your problems, because now you're pretty much eating the correct way every single meal of the day. You're never looking for something out of necessity.
Yeah, no, I mean, this was a lot of really, really good information. And this nutritional stuff is really going to help supplement, you know, the Athlene X training system, because
mm-hmm.
you need the nutrition. It's not, the workouts are great. They're going to help you get lean, but you're not going to get the exact results. You, put it this way, you're not going to look like Jeff unless you're following the nutrition as well.
Right, and I have to say, I mean, this may make some people mad out there, but I do zero cardio, zero, zero. So, you know, that's not good. I'm not proud of that, because I think cardio is good for your heart. Your heart is a muscle, and it's the most important muscle in your body, believe me. And cardio is your only way to really condition that. But in terms of how you look and how, you know, and being lean, it's all about nutrition in a large part, and then supplementing that with a good, sound training program. And that's really what I tried to bring. Everything that I do, we've talked about this before, the whole thing about practicing what I preach, this is what I do. So this whole Athlene training system, and it's a system, this whole training system is pretty much word for word and movement for movement what I do to look the way I do.
This is really powerful stuff, and it just answers a lot of questions. And again, it's working for you, it works for your clients, and it's going to work for everyone listening to this. So Jeff, thanks for sharing all your nutritional secrets here.
Yeah, anytime, Ryan. It's a pleasure.
And everyone, again, you've been listening to Jeff Cavalier with the Athlene X Training System. This is the nutrition supplement audio with it. So, you know, continue on your path to success. This is Ryan Lee signing off. Hope you enjoyed this. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.